It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is May 26th, 2021, and that means it's Wednesday, middle of the week. We are powering through news in my life, just as a quick update. I'm recording this show because, hey, what do you know? I'm trying to do better. I've got to try and record shows because eventually I'm going to have to record the show at like 6 a.m. So if I can get into the habit of recording the show and then just slowly move it down earlier in the day, by the time I have to go back to the office, I'll be prepared. And then I can chat. Still chat at work. I just can't talk on the mic at work. So anyway, that's going on. I also tested live.tubenix.com and was able to use that, and it was great. I tested it with my brother. I tested the stream to Tubenix, and then I tested the stream to Twitch. And he reported that audio was great on Tubenix. Video was choppy. I think that that's a function of the way PeerTube works, because it's kind of sharing the video bandwidth between people. So whenever it's just one person sharing and one person watching, it just doesn't have the bandwidth to hold that together. Anyway, that was my experience, but it's definitely really cool. I'll be putting some content up there, and I'll be sure and let you know. All right, well, now it's time to start the way we almost always start, not counting yesterday. It's time for the world news.
World news.
All right, so first up, there was an incident in Italy that's happened. A cable car fell. Three people have been arrested in Italy over Sunday's cable car accident that left 14 dead. Investigators say the emergency brakes had been disabled, and the three members of the operating company were aware. According to local transport official, the brake failure meant the car was traveling at over 100 kilometers an hour, 62 miles an hour, when the cable broke. The car plunged 20 meters into the side of the Moderone Mountain near Lake Maggiore in northern Italy. Prosecutors are carrying out an investigation into suspected involuntary homicide and negligence. The three suspects have been identified as the owner, director, and chief of operations of the company that managed the cable car. AFP reports that the local prosecutor, Olympia Bossi, told a press conference that the brake had been tampered with in a conscious act and suggested the car was unsafe before Sunday's accident. The prosecutor alleged a fork-like clamp had been placed over the emergency brake, which had been malfunctioning after repair work on the car was unsuccessful. It had been applied to avoid continuous disruptions and blockages of the cable car, she said, adding that the suspects had believed that the cable would never break. According to the newspaper, investigators had initially believed the clamp had been left in place by mistake. Five families were on board the cable car when it crashed, including two children who are among the dead. The sole survivor of the accident has been named as Eitan Biran, a 5-year-old Israeli boy whose parents, great-grandparents, and younger brother were all killed. According to reports, he was protected from the impact of the crash by his father, who shielded him with his body. Eitan was placed in a medically induced coma after an operation on Sunday, but briefly opened his eyes on Wednesday, a medical official said. His aunt is with him in the hospital, and he is expected to fully regain consciousness in the coming hours. This is the most delicate moment, Turin's health chief was quoted as saying by Italy's La Repubblica newspaper. And this is just wild. It's always so tragic when there's these accidents. I'm glad he at least has an aunt. It wasn't the whole entire family tree just got lopped off, but wow. That's really tough. All right. Well, let's go over to the UK. To Wales. This is a wild accident that's occurred. A woman died after she was struck by an overhanging tree branch when she leaned out of a window of a train window as she traveled home after Christmas shopping. Bethan Roper, 28, who worked for the Welsh Refugee Council, sustained fatal head injuries while a passenger on a Great Western Railway, or GWR, Golf Whiskey Romeo Great Western Railway, train, traveling at about 75 miles an hour. Well, thanks, Guardian. You used miles per hour without, you didn't even put the kilometers an hour in here. The inquest was told that GWR had planned to install enhanced signs warning against leaning out of windows while trains were moving after a previous incident. It had a set date of May 2018 for new signs to be in place, but by the time of Roper's death, 7 months later, this had not happened. The inquest at Ashton Court near Bristol heard Roper from Penarth in South Wales died while returning home with friends from a day out in Bath. The London Paddington Exeter service had just left Bath Spa Station when Roper, who was the chair of Young Socialist Cardiff, was fatally injured. Mark Hamilton, an inspector with the Rail Accident Investigation Branch, or RAIB, told Avon Coroner's Court, around 2.5 minutes after the train departed Bath Spa Station, Bethan leaned out of the window, and a few seconds later she fell backwards, having sustained a serious head injury. Hamilton said the carriage was an MK, that's Mike Kilo, 3, type coach, and fitted with an opening window to enable passengers to use the handle on the outside when they needed to leave the train. There is no physical feature fitted to the train to prevent a passenger opening the window when the train is away from the station, Hamilton said. He added that MK3 coaches were first introduced in the 1970s and were being phased out. The inquest heard that above the door window was a yellow sticker with the words "Caution, do not lean out of the window when the train is moving." Hamilton said one of the causal factors was in relation to the warning signs, and he concluded Bethan, as a passenger, was not deterred by these warning signs. Obviously, a report has concluded the warning sign on display complied with the railway group standard that was in force at the time. However, the RAIB considers that wording, particularly the word "caution," suggesting that perhaps leaning out is something that may be done with a degree of care. The yellow background's also traditionally recognized as a characteristic of a warning sign, whereas red backgrounds may convey danger. Toxicology reports found Roper had a blood alcohol level of 142 milligrams in 100 milliliters of blood, meaning she was nearly twice the drunk drive limit. The inquest continues. So, don't stick your head out of a train or any moving vehicle. That's really, really wild that the window's open like that. All right, well, it's time to hit in.
Ouch! Ouch!
Time to go into our ouch section here. Because it's time to talk about what's going on in Israel for a minute.
Resistance is futile.
Blinken visits Egypt and Jordan to support Israel-Hamas ceasefire. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken, has arrived in Jordan on the last leg of a regional tour to bolster a ceasefire reached last week between Israel and Hamas. Okie doke. Sorry about that. My doorbell rang. Hopefully, this edited together seamlessly. The Palestinian faction that runs the besieged Gaza Strip. 11 days of Israeli bombardment that began on May 10th killed at least 254 Palestinians, including 66 children, and wounded more than 1,900 in the coastal enclave, according to health authorities. At least 12 people in Israel, including 2 children, were killed by rockets fired by Hamas and other armed groups from Gaza during the same period. Blinken's visit to Amman, where he was due to meet King Abdullah II on Wednesday, followed trips to Cairo, where he met Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, and Jerusalem and Ramallah, where he held separate meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. So, fingers crossed that worked out. The Biden administration has said it will keep the embassy in Jerusalem. Blinken also announced U.S. plans to reopen its consulate general in occupied East Jerusalem, which has overseen relations with the PA before President Trump relocated the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem in 2018, a move denounced by Palestinians and right groups. Blinken also announced on Tuesday that Washington would replenish Israel's Iron Dome air defense system, as the administration has repeatedly indicated it does not plan to heed the calls of some U.S. legislators to curtail arms sales and unconditioned military aid to Israel in the wake of the violence. So, that's why I played the resistance as futile sound, because regardless of what the citizens of the United States want, the U.S. has too much invested in Israel to stop funding their whatever, no matter what they do. Well, there is some good news, though. It's not all sad. What? Ireland recognizes Israel's de facto annexation of Palestine. The Irish government has supported a parliamentary motion condemning the de facto annexation of Palestinian land by Israeli authorities and what it said was the first use of the phrase by a European Union country in relation to Israel. Irish Foreign Minister Simon Coveney said on Tuesday that the motion brought forward by opposition party Sinn Féin is a clear signal of the depth of feeling across Ireland. The scale, pace, and strategic nature of Israel's actions on settlement, expansion, and the intent behind it have brought us to a point where we need to be honest about what is actually happening on the ground. It is de facto annexation, Coveney of the center-right Fine Gael party told Parliament. This is not something that I, or in my view this House, says lightly. We are the first EU state to do so, but it reflects the huge concern we have about the intent of the actions and, of course, their impact, he said. If passed, the amendment would require the government to expel the Israeli ambassador to Ireland and to impose economic, political, and cultural sanctions against Israel. Most countries view settlements Israel has built in the territory captured by the 1967 war as illegal and as an obstacle to peace with the Palestinians. Coveney, who has represented Ireland on the United Nations Security Council in debates on Israel in recent weeks, had insisted on adding a condemnation of recent rocket attacks on Israel by Palestinian group Hamas before he agreed to government support of the motion. Some of the Irish parliamentarians wore face masks bearing the Palestine flag or of the checkered kefiyeh pattern. The left-leaning Sinn Féin party refused to support the government amendment condemning Hamas attacks. The motion came days after the ceasefire ended. The violence sparked large pro-Palestinian protests in Dublin. The Irish Parliament, or Dáil, is set to debate the People Before Profit amendment of the Sinn Féin members' motion on Wednesday, with a vote expected later. Some welcomed Ireland's move on social media. People Before Profit's Richard Boyd Barrett described Wednesday's coming as a vote as historic. More than 5,200 people have signed his petition, which calls on the Irish government to publicly declare that the state of Israel is guilty of war crimes. So, I think that this is at least not bad news. It's not dead kids, so I think that's moving in the right direction. So, oh man.
That's correct.
It is time to talk about Africa. We got a bunch of cool Africa news for you. Well, we've got a bunch of Africa news. A little bit of it's cool. Some of it's a little sad. But that's kind of our MO, right? It's a lot of sad news to me. Mali's transitional president and prime minister resigned during mediation efforts Wednesday after being arrested in an apparent second military coup in 9 months, a top junta aide and an international diplomat said. Mali President Ba Ndoua and Prime Minister Mokhtar Ouani, tasked with steering the return to civilian rule after a coup last August, had been held since Monday and resigned before the mediator, said Baba Cisse, special advisor to junta boss Assimi Goïta. Cisse said negotiations were underway for their release and the formation of a new government in the poor Sahel country. And I always say Sahel. I've heard some people say Sahel or Sahel. I'm not sure the right way to say it. So if anybody knows, let me know, because I say it a lot. A member of the Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS, that's ECOWAS, Echo Charlie Oscar Whiskey Alpha Sierra, mediation mission, confirmed the president's resignation to AFP, requesting anonymity. The team traveled early Wednesday to the Kati military group around 15 kilometers from the capital, Bamako, to visit the two detainees. Ndoua and Ouani had been heading the interim government with the declared aim of restoring full civilian rule within 18 months. Goïta, who holds the rank of vice president in the transitional government, accused Ndoua and Ouani of failing to consult him on a reshuffle. The UN Security Council was set to hold an emergency meeting later Wednesday at the request of the former colonial power, France, and others. On Monday, the United Nations, African Union, ECOWAS, and the EU, and the United States issued a rare joint statement attacking the detention and demanding the release of Ndoua and Ouani. Young military officers ousted President Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta last August after weeks of demonstrations over perceived government corruption and his handling of the jihadist insurgency. Man.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I hear you. Let's just do a couple quick notes here. Yesterday was Africa Day. It's May 25th, and African governments commemorate it as Africa Day. It's the day formerly known as African Freedom Day and the African African Liberation Day. Is the annual commemoration of the founding of the Organization of African Unity, OAU, on May 5, 1963, and it was transformed into the African Union on July 9, 2002, in Durban, South Africa. The holiday is celebrated on May 25, and it's celebrated in various countries on the African continent as well as around the world. This year's theme of Africa Day is Arts, Culture, and Heritage, Levers for Building the Africa We Want. And I just wanted to mention it. I mentioned it in passing yesterday, and I feel like I didn't get to get it out early enough for people to recognize it. But, yeah, add it to your calendar. May 25th. That's what I'll do right now. We're going to go events, calendar, boop. This is important stuff right here. New event, plus event, title, Africa Day, location, Africa, start. May 25th, all day. Okay, and it repeats yearly. All right, and just like that, we've got Africa Day on the calendar. Thank you, Thunderbird, for your calendar. All right, Nigerian Army raids Boko Haram logistics stockpile in Yobe State.
Get the news okay, over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay, we'll do just a quick headline. The Nigerian Army on Wednesday said its troops under Operation Hadi Kai bust a Boko Haram logistics stockpile in Kirkareta Town, Yobe State, northeast of the country. And the AU, Africa Union, and ECOWAS condemned arrest of Mali President and Prime Minister. We just read the full story on that. Cholera outbreak kills at least 20 in northern Nigeria. A cholera outbreak has killed at least 20 people in the past 2 weeks, with more than 300 hospitalized. Nigeria is Africa's largest oil producer, suffers from a high rate of waterborne diseases as a result of dilapidated infrastructure and underinvestment. The latest outbreak in Bauchi State was reported in 9 districts, with the state capital Bauchi hit worst hit, Mohamed Maigoro, state health commissioner, told reporters. So far, we've recorded 20 deaths and 322 cases of the outbreak in 9 local government areas in the past 2 weeks. So we hope speedy recovery and that can get cleared up soon. All right, well, you know what it means. It's time to play a song. I've got a song for you from the Hollies. It's called Bus Stop, and I used to listen to this on a record a lot.
Umbrella. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's correct, and it's news to me. It's happening right now, every day, Monday through Friday, 1900 to 1930 UTC. And at 1930 UTC, every day, Monday through Monday, every single day that there's a day, there's the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and that's at 1930. So stick around for that. It's tons of fun. Also, please check the calendar over at anonradio.net. There are tons of shows. Lots of new DJs have recently, in the last week or so, come into it. So they've got lots of shows going on there. And check out TubeNix. There's a lot of videos being posted there, and it's kind of fun. It's not, it's different. Excuse me. It's different. It's not YouTube, but you still get videos and can see people and stuff. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there because, yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, let's get back into it. Let's start it all up. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, sorry. I lost my place. Boom. Let's talk about...
This is time for tech news.
All right. So I got two crypto stories for you, which I thought was a surprise. Iran bans crypto mining after summer power cuts strike early. Iran has banned all cryptocurrency mining for the next 4 months as widespread power outages stir public dissatisfaction across the country. Around 4.5% of all the global Bitcoin mining takes place in Iran, yielding up to $1 billion worth of revenue. And then they have a photo showing a huge warehouse full of machines. I guess they're all mining Bitcoins. Wow, I had no idea the operations were this big. It's incredible. President Hassan Rouhani said on Wednesday that all crypto mining operations in Iran, including legal ones, must shut down until the end of the sixth Iranian calendar month on September 22nd. Now everybody has a few miners laying around and are producing bitcoins, he told a televised cabinet meeting with a chuckle. Cryptocurrency mining is the process in which banks of powerful energy... This is a great Al Jazeera interpretation of cryptocurrency mining. It's a process which banks of powerful energy-hogging computers, known as rigs, race to verify transactions as an exchange for new tokens. The practice can be highly lucrative, but in Iran and other countries, the impact on power grids and the carbon footprint of Bitcoin mining in particular has elicited a strong backlash. This month, one of cryptocurrency's most influential boosters, Tesla boss Elon Musk, triggered a crash and other token prices after he tweeted that the electric vehicle maker would no longer accept Bitcoin. The reason he gave was for the U-turn was climate concerns. Rouhani said legal crypto mining operations in Iran consume about 300 megawatts of electricity, which is very insignificant, but illegal operations consume up to 2,000 megawatts. Thousands of illegal mining rigs have been confiscated in the past few years, according to officials. The government has recently called on its intelligence ministry to crack down on illegal miners, while a prize of 200 million reals, or $900, is also being considered for whistleblowers who help identify illegal operations. So, wow. So, I thought that was neat. And guess what? If you're having trouble finding a hard drive, blame cryptocurrency too. A new cryptocurrency is blaming for shortages of hard drives and other storage systems as speculators buy up critical components in anticipation of a price rise. Chia is the coin, and it's created by Bram Cohen, the entrepreneur behind BitTorrent file sharing system. It aims to improve on more popular cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Ethereum by removing the incentives to burn massive amounts of electricity. But Chia's replacement for Bitcoin's energy-intensive proof-of-work system called Proof of Space and Time instead requires users to devote massive amounts of hard drive space to generating and storing random numbers with rewards doled out to those with the most space used up. That, plus the skyrocketing value of cryptocurrency, has led to huge demand for the specific types of hard drives that work best with the system. Most affected have been large hard drives, which are used to store the random numbers, and a specific type of solid-state drive called an NVMe drive, which is used to generate the random numbers. Prices for both drives have noticeably gone up in the past week. The problem is particularly acute for SSDs, which have a limited number of uses before they break. Chia claims to do decentralization just like Bitcoin, waste some resources on unfakeable proof that you're claiming a share of the winnings, Gerard says. Instead of just wasting electricity, Chia chews through SSDs at a fantastic rate and has also thoroughly wrecked the market for big HDs. Yeah, I looked into this. a while back because my computer doesn't have a video card because I use, I've got an older AMD card. It doesn't actually have any drivers that allow me to do any crypto mining on my computer. So I looked into this, and yeah, it's recommended that you get a spinning disk. You need a spinning disk hard drive because you don't need a fast drive. You just need a large drive. So something to check out. I think one of my buddies ends up netting like $4 or $5 a week or something like that. So it's not huge, but hey, if you need the money, that's something you could do. Oh yeah, and one last tech story for you. Will Twitter, Facebook be banned in India from today? Everything you need to know. This is from The Independent. For the last 24 hours, India's Twitter have been in panic mode amid rumors that from Wednesday, social media giants like Twitter and Facebook will be banned due to a new set of information technology rules. In late February, the companies were given 3 months to comply with the new directive, which comes into effect May 26th, and had been warned that failure to do so could result in them losing their status as content intermediaries, and therefore the legal protections they have over what content is posted on their platforms. So far, none of Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram have complied with the new rules, which led to speculations that they could be banned or suspended from operations. As of Wednesday afternoon, the sites remained online, but the government has also yet to indicate whether the deadline will be extended. The government maintains the guidelines make the platforms more accountable and responsible for the content they host. For instance, the rule calls for social media companies to establish a grievance redressal mechanism for resolving complaints from users. The guideline also calls for social media firms to appoint a chief compliance officer to ensure compliance with India's laws, as well as named contact person for 24-hour coordination with law enforcement and in-house grievance officer. Perhaps most controversially, it also required social media companies to work with authorities to enable identification of first originator of all messages on their platform. The government says this is to allow the prevention of prosecutions of offenses relating to national security, public order, and others. Social media companies raised concerns that this would violate users' privacy. So, no word yet on when that's going to happen. The government has not openly discussed banning platforms, but rumors on this point gained ground a few days ago when members of the elite unit of the Delhi police visited the offices of Twitter to serve a notice, which was initially reported as a raid. So, very spooky indeed. Huge user base there. All right, we've got a couple of stories left, but only a few minutes to go, so I'm going to try and get them in here. The Guardian has a great piece, White Male Minority Rule Pervades Politics Across the U.S., research shows. From county officials and sheriffs to governors and senators, white male minority rule pervades politics in the U.S., according to a new report. White men represent 30% of the population, but 62% of office holders, dominating both chambers of Congress, 42 state legislators, and statewide roles across the nation. By contrast, women and people of color constitute 51% and 40% of the U.S. population respectively, but just 31% and 13% of office holders, according to the research by a Reflective Democracy campaign, shared exclusively with The Guardian. I think if we saw these numbers in another country, we would say there is something very wrong with that political system, said Brenda Chiresi Carter, the campaign's director. We would say, how could that possibly be a democratic system with that kind of demographic mismatch? Two factors perpetuate white male control over virtually every lever of the U.S. government, the huge advantage enjoyed by incumbents, and the Republican Party's continued focus on mostly white male candidates. As the U.S. barrels towards a minority white population within a matter of decades, some believe elected officials will inevitably become more diverse, but that logic's flawed. Women have always been half of the country, and they are still chronically underrepresented in government. So you can read the full story and the charts and stuff over there at The Guardian. In San Jose, there's been another shooting. A gunman's opened fire in a commuter train yard in California, killing multiple people. The shooting took place at Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority rail yard in San Jose. The victims include transit employees and the suspect. The shooting broke out at 6:45 local time, which is 14:45 GMT. The scene is now safe, and police say more information will be released soon. So it's sad news there. And what else? Oh, ProPublica has an article about how the U.S. has stolen home.